struggle to the death against one another. who commit the most horrible sins, those who commit but one sin that separates them eternally from God. Jesus' baptism was a baptism for sinners too. We sang about it just a brief moment ago. This Christ came to the Jordan to be baptized as your substitute. And there we see Jesus, no sin, but by voluntarily accepting the means that God provides for sinners to care for this sin, Jesus puts himself not only under the law, but he begins to bear the sin of the entire world. He puts himself in your place, the place of sinners. Jesus came to the Jordan as he came into the world to care for helpless sinners. You see, Jesus came for those who could not help themselves. And he will lift and support a bruised reed and one that is hanging limp he will not quash. He gently advanced to flame the dying glow of a candle wick. For those who could not deliver themselves from sin, Jesus takes their place, the place of sinners, the worst of sinners. So, who is this worst of sinners? You know, people, someone in this room, do you hear me? For you, to hear God explain, the worst of sinners is Jesus Christ. He who was without sin now becomes sin, is made to be sin for you. Jesus was made to be the worst sinner. The Apostle Paul spells it out this way. He, the Father, made him the Son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might receive the righteousness of God in him. This begins at the Jordan and concludes at the empty tomb. The sins of the whole world Jesus accepts when he is baptized. And so he becomes truly the worst sinner because he became guilty of every and all sins. Adolf's sins, your sins, my sins. We read this in Scripture when he came out of the water. John saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved sin, a son in whom I am well pleased." Here Jesus comes up, having placed his righteousness into that water and taken your sin upon himself. And there he stands, the worst sinner ever, and yet God the Father says, "You are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased." God is pleased with worst sinners. His son, yet his son is still beloved. As the Father speaks these words, he says that he is particularly pleased because Jesus willingly followed his Father's plan, putting himself in your place. The Father is pleased because Jesus took your sin upon himself. Pleased because Jesus is willingly baptized. this promise at your baptism. For there you were marked with the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to identify you, to mark you as one who has been redeemed by Christ the crucified. You are baptized into God's name, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not only are you baptized into Christ's death, but you are also baptized into his resurrection. Again, as the Apostle Paul says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into his death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. And that, dear friends, is the answer to the question that we raised earlier. Where's the sinners who now walk in newness of life? In this life, still sinning, but clothed with the righteousness of Christ Jesus, the perfect life, the perfect garment. This means that God's baptized children live their baptism each and every day. Martin Luther reminds us that daily we must drown the old Adam that still clings to us, and daily we rise to newness of living. And that is why Luther also says in his small catechism, pay attention, children, this one is for you especially, that as we do that, Luther reminds us that we mark ourselves when we get up in the morning and when we go to bed at night, by saying, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This sign of the cross marks us not only as one redeemed,